I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, comedian Cristela Alonzo makes a shocking confession.
I did what a lot of people did with the Grateful Dead and traveled and followed Billy Joel around for the summer and saw him in concert 22 times.
Okay. Plus an age-old debate.
We appreciate the support of all our viewers so that we can bring you quality programs.
Lurk. Nurture.
Mrs. Girdleton means to say nature.
Nurture.
Nature.
Nurture.
And singer Ryan Bingham recalls his glamorous life in rodeo.
Well, my sister worked for an orthodontist at the time, and she said, man, she said, Ryan, you've got to get some teeth.
Sometimes at night, I look upon the stars above. They never shine as bright as my diamond in the rough.
All on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, this is Wits. I'm John Moe, coming to you this week from the historic Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. We have a very fun show on tap for you today. Oscar-winning singer-songwriter Ryan Bingham is with us. We'll hear from him in just a bit. Up first, Cristela Alonzo. She's a comedian, an actor, and she's the first Latina to have created, produced, written, and starred in her own sitcom on a major network. It was called Cristela, and it was on ABC. If you check out our first episode with Ryan and Cristela, that's Wits episode 85, you'll hear the story of how she grew up in a border town in Texas with a single mom, several brothers and sisters. She's the youngest of four kids, and they lived for 8 years in an abandoned diner. All through her childhood, Cristela's mom wanted her to stay inside and watch TV because it was safer than going outside to play in that neighborhood. And that's how Cristela became a huge fan of sitcoms, Golden Girls, Roseanne, lots of others. In our Shocking Facts segment, we learned that Cristela's fandom extends to music as well.
Shocking Facts!
Cristela Alonzo, shocking fact, you learned how to play harmonica because of Billy Joel?
I love Billy Joel so much that I decided to play the harmonica just to learn how to play Piano Man. And I learned how to play it in an hour. And I almost got kicked out of my dorm because everybody complained that I only knew one song and that was Piano Man.
Wait, you were sitting in a college dorm trying to learn the harmonica part on Piano Man?
Hashtag cool kid, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Hashtag popular, yes.
Shocking fact, you learned how to milk cows in Mexico?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I spent a lot of my childhood in my mom's village. It's a village named El San Carron. And my aunt is named Socorro, which in Spanish means help. And we would go out to the...
aunt is named Help?
Yeah, my aunt is named Help, like Help.
So wow. Then, so you had to go help her.
Yes, which is weird because I didn't know how to milk cows. So the first day I went to milk cows, a cow kicked me and I yelled, Socorro, like help. And my aunt thought I was calling her, but didn't hear me. And it's kind of weird when you have an aunt named Help because she doesn't know when to take, like when people are asking for help or when they're just calling her. And when she thinks they're calling her, she walks a lot slower.
Uh-huh. Shocking fact, I have to get back to Billy Joel here. You've seen a lot of Billy Joel concerts in a short space of time.
When I was in college, between harmonica lessons, in the summer, I did what a lot of people did with the Grateful Dead and traveled and followed Billy Joel around for the summer and saw him in concert 22 times.
Okay, hold on.
Because again, hashtag popular, hashtag cool kid.
I have a lot of questions about the logistics.
Yes.
Were you with other people or all by yourself?
It varied. I had two people that could make it on some gigs, and other times I would go solo dolo, you know, yeah.
Is there a community of, as you would describe, deadheads for Billy Joel? And if so, oh my God, what is their name?
Oh my God, I don't know if there is, but I hope there is because I've been looking for it. I'm a Billy Joel nomad looking for their home.
And then, shocking fact, Cristela Alonzo, you learned ventriloquism in order to be in a show. Your popularity is just soaring off the charts.
Who's got two thumbs and can date anyone?
The fellas must have been beaten down the door.
They are. They're like, stop here with our harmonica and ventriloquism, please. Please. We're trying to date hot girls. Don't do that. Yeah. I learned how to do ventriloquism for a musical, and I can still do it. You can't hear it over the radio, but man, I'm nailing it, guys.
Okay.
It's really nice to be here right now. I have a lot of cool times with you guys.
I can verify she did not move her lips.
I have, at times, been on the road and considered getting a dummy just for fun.
Just to keep yourself company? Maybe take it to some Billy Joel shows?
I can take the carpool lane to the Billy Joel shows. It's fantastic.
You get a little head rack for the harmonica. You can play it as you drive along.
I guess my subtle way of saying, please, someone date me.
Full of shocking facts. Cristela Alonso, thank you for these shocking facts. Our musical guest this week is a singer-songwriter born in New Mexico, grew up in Texas, and won an Academy Award for his work writing and performing in the movie Crazy Heart. He's released 5 popular albums, the latest being Fear and Saturday Night. Here's Ryan Bingham.
love for you is true. Without you, I'm a shipwreck abandoned. You're my lady in the moon. My blanket made of stars. And if you ever call my name, I'll come a run. Your sorrow sings in pain, I'll be there. If you ever feel a change in your weather, take shelter with me. The snow's falling in June.
Ryan Bingham. I have beliefs, or believes, as I choose to make the plural form. One leaf, many leaves. One belief, many believes. One steef, many steves. I believe that small things can make a difference. O and P are right next to each other in the alphabet, but the narrow gap between them makes the difference between heroes and herpes, and I think that's important. I believe that children are our future. I believe that since the children are our future, they should be made to wear silvery jumpsuits and space helmets at all times. I believe in miracles, but would like to verify exactly where you are from, you sexy thing. I believe in shouting, "Oh no!" when I hear bad or troubling news on the radio. I believe this makes me ill-suited for newscaster opportunities in traditional media. Although I believe that given even one opportunity, I would become the most popular newscaster in history. A deadly tornado hit a small town today. Oh no! I believe the banjo can be a musical instrument or an instrument of torture and can do so at the same time. I believe the same goes for bagpipes, except the part about being a musical instrument. I believe Dustin Hoffman is awfully old to be named Dustin, and I believe that's suspicious. I believe that one day we will have a president whose name ends in the sound Aiden. Caden, Jaden, Gladen, or most promisingly, Iron Maiden. I believe pets should be spayed or neutered, but I also believe that they should have the procedure explained to them and that they should sign consent forms. However, it's okay to trick them with these explanations and forms because pets are pretty stupid. I believe all movie sequels should end with a montage of everyone in the film apologizing for what they've done, followed by a montage of the actors walking up to a window, collecting their checks, nodding grimly, and then walking away. I believe all rock band names ought to be in plural form and contain a definite article. Our own band, The Witnesses, passes this test. The Beatles, The Foo Fighters, fine. But we also ought to have The Radioheads, The U2s, The Rushs. I believe my beliefs, and this I believe. Coming up, Take Your Daughter to Work Day gets pretty intense. And did Billy Joel start the fire? This is Wits. I'm John Moe. We'll be right back. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with comedian and actor Cristela Alonso and singer-songwriter Ryan Bingham.
You're watching PBS. Programming on this PBS station is supported by viewers like you and the Girdleton Group. And now, a word from Herbert and Myrtle Girdleton.
Herbert Girdleton.
And Myrtle Girdleton.
We're purred in our herds to support purr-ers.
We appreciate the support of all our viewers so that we can bring you quality programs.
Lurk, nurture.
Mrs. Girdleton means to say nature.
Nurture.
Nature.
Nurture.
Nature brings you all around the world, showing you the most exotic species you could ever imagine. But there have been some budget cuts lately, so the next episode of Nature is just about one really dumb dog named Gary.
In the not-so-remote territory known as the backyard, Gary stalks his foe. It is a rock that has been out there for years. Gary has suddenly decided it is its enemy, when suddenly... Gary trots towards the nearby fence. And now Gary has a new enemy, the fence. The fence he just walked into for no apparent reason. Oh, Gary is an unbelievably stupid dog. And there is only one Gary left in the world, fortunately.
Oh. Nurture.
Nature.
Earn perber earth.
Janie Winterbauer is the announcer, Christina Baldwin and I as the Girdletons, Mike Potis as Gary, Cristela Alonso as the narrator. Our guests this week are not just interesting, they are also shocking guests due to facts. We now present a segment called Shocking Facts.
Shocking Facts.
Ryan, there's a reason that your teeth are so white, and that's because they're fake.
That is correct. When I was about 18, I used to ride bulls, and I was in Weatherford, Texas one night at a bull riding, and got my teeth knocked out riding bulls and got headbutted by a bull in the rodeo arena. And that's
how does that. But you're not on the part of the bull that has the head. How does that work?
Well, it's funny. I got to this bull riding and I drew. What you do is you all put your name in a hat, you know, and you draw for which bull you're going to get on. And I happened to draw this bull named Spanky. And
well, that sounds adorable.
Usually you can ask, you know, some of the guys around and what old Spanky did. And you know, and I'd asked the guy that owned him and he said, well, Spanky jumps out of the chute and he spins to the left usually two times and usually nobody rides him that far. So we don't know what he's going to do after that. So Spanky jumped out there and turned back to the left two times and I rode him and Spanky didn't know what to do after that. So he stopped. And he was just standing there shaking and shivering. And you never want to jump off a bull when they're standing still like that because you land right next to them and they run you right over. So I kicked him a little to try to get him to jump so I could jump off of him. And whenever I did, he just jumped off all fours like a cat. And I went this way, he went that way, and my hand was still in the rope. And when I came falling forward, he threw his head back and he headbutted me right in the mouth.
How many teeth?
There she went.
How many teeth did you lose?
Knocked these two first, and then it rattled the rest of them, the four around, pretty loose. And then my teeth went through down here, and I bit my lip off. And
well, that
about 50 stitches later in the upper lip and a bunch of stuff later. That, yeah, that's why they're so white.
These are shocking facts.
I didn't have any teeth for a couple of years after that. And, well, I think I went about a year without any teeth. And it was right around high school prom. And I remember my girlfriend was really upset about it. But my sister worked for an orthodontist at the time. And she said, man, she said, Ryan, you've got to get some teeth. She said, she goes, I talked to my boss. And, you know, he's going to hook you up. So I went into his office and I didn't have any health insurance at the time, so I was kind of relying on a hookup. And
I know a guy who knows a guy who's got some teeth for you.
He brought me in his office, and he opened up a drawer, and it had all these random teeth, and he just started holding them up to the light. And he said, I think these two will work, and he just made me like a retainer you put in a kid's mouth, and he glued them to that retainer, and those are the only teeth I had for a while.
Now, I want to get back to the prom part of this story. Had you asked a girl to prom by this point, and had she actually said yes to Toothless Ryan Bingham?
Yeah, she was actually my girlfriend, and she was there when it happened, and that was a whole other story, but yeah, we went anyway. Well, we were going to go, and then we ended up going to a bar and missing the whole prom, and that's a whole other story, too.
Shocking fact.
Number two.
Number two. Ryan Bingham, you worked at Buffalo Bill's Wild West show in Paris, France.
Yeah.
What? What? What?
Well, I was in Texas, you know, kind of playing guitar a little bit, and a little bit. Like, I knew like two chords and had like two songs that I knew, and
had a couple teeth by then.
Had some teeth by then, you know, so things were looking on the upside. So, you know, my career was really taking off, and
Spanky wasn't around by this point.
I was working for this rodeo company, and a friend of mine I'd met, and he had worked over in this Wild West show in Paris, and he said, man, he goes, I might could get you this gig in Paris, France at this Wild West show. He goes, would you want to go to Europe? And I said, hell yeah. And so he bought me a one-way plane ticket to Paris, France, and he gave me a phone number to this guy that he knew over there, and he said, you're all lined out. So I got on the flight, and I flew to Paris. And first off, I had a layover in London, and I'd never been. I was 21 years old, never been hardly outside of Texas or New Mexico. Real bright young man, you know. And I had $100, you know, to my name. Well, I got to London, and I went to the bar and ordered a few beers, and the bartender gave me all this change back. And I was like, well, man, I just leave that for a tip, you know. And so I left that for a tip, and then I got to Paris, and I realized that how much all those coins were worth. And by the time I got to Paris, I had like $10 to my name, and nobody came to pick me up at the airport. So I sat at the airport for 4 or 5 hours till I realized there was a free shuttle bus to Disneyland, where the Wild West show was. And I took the shuttle to Disneyland and got there, and the guy that I was supposed to meet to get the job, and he said, well, you know, I'm kind of going through a divorce, so you can't stay with me. And, man, I'm real sorry. I was supposed to take a guy's place in the show that was going to quit and move back to the States. Well, he decided to stay. So they basically said, so, you know, sorry about your luck, cowboy. We'll see you next time. And I just kind of turned me out the door. So I was walking around Disneyland trying to figure out what my next big move was going to be. And this guy came up and tapped me on the shoulder.
Because your decision-making skills have been so good to that point.
Oh, you just got to be in the right place at the right time. It gets better.
The happiest place on earth.
This guy tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around, and there's a Native American guy in full paint and headdress and buckskin leathers on.
As you'd find in France.
And he's talking to Minnie Mouse. And he said, man, he goes, I heard what happened to you in the show. I'm so sorry, you know. If you want to come stay at our place, till you get things figured out. He goes, come stay at our house. And I said, well, that'd be great, you know. And so I went back to his place. I was so jet-lagged and drunk and disorientated. They had this room in the basement where they let me stay. And I don't know how long I slept, but I remember waking up and I could hear music playing. And I crawled up the stairs and I opened the door, and there's all these people in there having a big party, these cowboys and Indians and French girls, and everybody pointed at me and started laughing, and then I realized they were playing my songs on the radio. And a couple years before that, when I was rodeoing, I had a really good friend of mine that was a bronc rider. He's a Navajo Indian, and I used to give these home recordings to all my rodeo buddies. Well, he had gone over there and worked in that show, and these guys were all his cousins. So they'd been listening. They were like, man, we've been listening to your songs for like 2 years. What are you doing here, you know? And they said, you can stay here as long as you want. And I was like, well, all right, I'm going to stay. And so they bought me a train ticket where I could go play in the subways in Paris during the day, and then I'd meet up with them back there at night. And then I finally got a job in the show like a month later, and I made some money and I came home.
You can handle any situation at all. These are shocking facts. Ryan Bingham, thank you for the shocking facts. Here with more music, Ryan Bingham.
My skin and bones. You're ragged and you're dirty, and hardly worth your weight in gold. For all of your suffering, no one gives a good guy. It's all about the money, son, and we doubt you understand. You're a little old. They say your diamond is too rough. You're a little old. I'd never trade it for their love. Sometimes at night, I look upon the stars above. They never shine as bright as my diamond in the rough. People, they tell me just to give up and go on home. But to have no home to go to, something they'll never know. You're a little old. They say your diamond is too rough. You're a little old. I'd never trade it for their love. Sometimes I feel like I ain't getting nowhere. I'm walking down this road, my lungs are out of air. But I'll never let this world get too heavy on my shoulders. 'Cause my diamond always will. Oh, the weight that I'm under. You're a little old. They say my diamond is too rough. You're a little old. I'd never trade it for that love. You're a little old. They say my diamond is too rough. Trade it for their love.
Ryan Bingham. So, honey, this is Daddy's new office.
Wow, neat.
Yeah, well, here's my, well, it's not an office, a cubicle. My cubicle's right over here. And then over there's the kitchen. And this is an octagon-shaped fighting pit for some reason. Why haven't I noticed that before?
Morning, Ned.
Morning, Angie.
Ned, this is my daughter, Stella. She's super pumped for today.
Been training all summer.
Well, that's an odd thing to say. Is she 18, 19 years old?
She's 7 years old, Ned.
Oh, she's as tall as me.
Whoa! Don't give her a complex, all right?
I'm sorry. Hey, you know, Angie, I know I'm new and all, but has that octagon always been over there by the fax machine?
Of course it has. Uh-oh. Do you not know what today is?
Well, obviously I do. I introduced you to my daughter.
Hi again. A lot of people don't notice me.
I noticed you, and I've already cataloged your weaknesses.
What? What's happening here?
That explains it.
Explains what?
Looks like someone didn't read the memo.
I'm gonna take her apart.
Yes, you are, sweetie. Yes, you are.
No, I read the memo.
You probably just read the part at the top that said take your daughter to work day, but skipped the part where it added where she will fight other daughters in the octagon to determine salary and benefits.
Good morning, worker bees. Happy take your daughter to work day. Stella, got a lot of money riding on this morning. No pressure.
Yeah, feeling good, feeling pumped.
Good morning, Mr. Moorpark. This is my daughter, Imogene.
Hi, Imogene. Aren't you adorable and frail? Did you not read the memo?
No, I don't get this. I mean, this isn't a cutthroat law firm we're working at here. It's a nonprofit. It's a nonprofit that helps children. How is this even a thing?
Nonprofits are a jungle, Ned. The animals have to fight. It's our way. The fights have a savage beauty to them.
I don't have daughters, just some no-good boys. So I bet on the fights, and Stella here's been very good to me for the past 6 or 7 years.
But Angie said that she was only 7 years...
Look, Ned, a little advice. You do not want your girl to go up against Stella.
So, if I fought Stella and won, my daddy would get a big raise?
Yeah, theoretically, that is what would happen, but you wouldn't challenge Stella.
I will. I challenge Stella.
Honey, no. She's twice your size and 3 times your weight. This is crazy. Daddy will be just fine, please.
It's okay, Daddy. You always say we pitch in as a family. I'm finally pitching in.
All right, once a challenge is issued, it is binding. Company policy. We have a fight, everyone.
Let's get this party started.
I'll be fine, Dad. I can do this.
You know what, sweetie? Okay, I believe in you. Matter of fact, I'll even bet that you will win.
Oh, I'll take that action.
I'll give you 5-1 odds.
Oh, okay, well, if you say so.
I'm ready. Here. Hold my retainer.
Our first match, the newcomer, Imogene Carmichael, versus the reigning champ, Stella, the Dream Crusher.
What? Hey, look, Imogene's got Stella up against the fence.
Now, what's she doing? She's flipping her, wow, all the way across the octagon?
Stella! What are you doing out there?
I'm sorry, Mommy.
Here's my finishing move.
That's awful.
She won. Imogene won.
What just happened?
I'll tell you what happened. A combination of jujitsu, Krav Maga, capoeira, and plus some good old-fashioned broken glass.
Did you people really think we didn't read the memo?
Yeah, sounds like you didn't read my resume. Imogene and I have been hustling the nonprofit circuit for a while now. We are always ready for Take Your Daughter to Work Day.
All hail Imogene instead of my own daughter. Sorry, Stella.
Good work, Ned. I'll show you to the corner office.
Me as Ned, Janie Winterbauer as Imogene, Christella Alonzo as Angie, Christina Baldwin as Stella, Mike Fotis as Mr. Moorpark, Ryan Bingham as the announcer. Support for Wits comes from croquet. When you want your kids to pretend huge wooden mallets are swords and swing them at each other, try croquet. We get support from Circlicles, the round alternative to cubicles for your unique workplace. Don't worry, management, they're still just as jaily. We receive additional funding from Top Hats, the hats that put a stop to bottom hats once and for all. More with Cristela Alonzo and singer-songwriter Ryan Bingham in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with comedian and actor Cristela Alonzo and singer-songwriter Ryan Bingham. Pop song correspondences. Student evaluations from Professor Billy Joel's 20th century history class.
I like Professor Joel quite a bit, especially his earlier classes, but I had a hard time with this one.
Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
Professor Joel's lectures were mostly just proper nouns. I would have enjoyed some details about Joe McCarthy and why he mattered.
Rosenberg's H-bomb, Sugar Ray, Penguin, John Brando, the king and I am the catcher in the rye. Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano, Liberace, Santayana, goodbye.
The only area where he went into a little more detail was when he talked about the arsons that have been happening around campus. He was weirdly fixated on them.
We didn't start the fire, it was always burning.
Why even bring up that you didn't start the fire? It seems suspicious. It worried everyone in the class a little. Not that we had long to think about it since we had to take notes like really fast because you just kept moving.
Roy Kahn, Juan Perón, Toscanini, Dan Crom, Tien Ben, Poo Falls, Rock Around the Clock.
I raised my hand one time to ask what Dien Bien Phu had to do with Rock Around the Clock, but he just ignored me and kept going. Was this all going to be on the final?
Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team. Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland.
I guess I wanted something more than, you know, just names. I tried to say something, but then it was arson time again.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it.
I feel like I need to point out that Professor Joel kept gas cans and old rags under his desk. Look, I don't know where he got his PhD. I asked him once and he just said, the school of hard knocks and put on sunglasses? The last day of class was the worst.
Wheel of Fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal, suicide, foreign debts, homeless feds, AIDS, crack, Bernie gets, hypodermics on the shore, China's under martial law, rock and roller, cola wars, I can't take it anymore.
Why was it the rock and roller cola wars that pushed him over the edge? We'll never know. He ran out and didn't even show up for the final exam, which was just as well because, as we all know, the humanities building burned to the ground that day. I wonder who did it. Oh, you don't think.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it.
Janie Winterbauer and John Munson as Billy Joel, Cristela Alonzo, Mike Fotis, Ryan Bingham, and Christina Baldwin as students. This pop song correspondence was suggested by Mario Panaghetti of Fremont, California, via Twitter in 2013. Glad we finally got around to it. Christella really liked that sketch.
It's the best sketch to ever exist. If it had had ventriloquism, I would have loved it.
And now, the Wits Game Show. This week, make it a country music song. Christella, we will give you the title of a made-up country music song. It'll be up to you to give us a little backstory about the song. Fill us in on the song's history, what it's about, who did it. Ryan, it will then be up to you to give us a sampling of that same song as described by Christella. This is a competition. I will declare a winner after each round. Scoring for this game will, as always, be arbitrary and capricious. Are you ready? It doesn't matter, because here we go. First song title to you, Christella, Frogs and Cigarettes. Who recorded that one originally?
That would have been Porkchop Lewis.
Porkchop Lewis.
His wife left him. They lived in a trailer park, leaving him with nothing but frogs and cigarettes.
And what would they do with these frogs and cigarettes?
They'd smoke together. That's the only friend he had, the frog.
Ryan, can you give us a little sampling of that song? And play it the way Porkchop Lewis did, please.
It's the only way.
Of course.
I'm so lonely. All I have is you. You're a toad. And I'm still blue. We communicate on roller skates, smoking cigarettes through our last day through.
The roller skates was interesting.
The roller skates, yeah, the curveball that was the roller skates. I'm giving that round to Ryan Bingham.
Keep you on your toes. Keep you on your toes.
Christella, the name of this song, which I'm sure you're very familiar with,
mm-hmm.
How come guacamole is extra?
Now?
You know, I'm glad you said that one. That was my parents' wedding song.
Mm.
Why is the guacamole extra? It's because this actually happened at a Cracker Barrel years ago. No one had ever heard of guacamole.
A lot of great music comes from Cracker Barrel.
All the best ones do.
Yeah.
The Judds wrote Grandpa there. And Cracker Barrel didn't know what guacamole was. They went and looked it up. They found it and they said, that was too much work. We should charge them extra.
And then wrote a song about it?
And then wrote a song about it. And that one was actually written by Enchilada Jimenez, a very famous country singer. I think we all know.
Yeah. So, Ryan, Enchilada Jimenez's famous song, How Come Guacamole Is Extra, as sponsored by the Cracker Barrel Corporation.
Oh, my God.
It's going to remind me of my parents' wedding. I might cry.
Yeah. This is probably one of those songs you played in the van with all your rodeo friends.
I wrote this. Oh, my gosh.
Wait! I don't want no more guacamole on my salad. Won't you please leave it on the side? Grandma said she don't want no more guacamole. Not at least while she's still here alive. Please no guacamole on my salad. I don't want to spend the 50 cents. Please no guacamole on my salad. I have nowhere else to go and no regrets.
Ha ha!
You know, a song doesn't necessarily need to feature the title of the song in the lyrics. And that one certainly did not. Given the powerful sentiment behind the idea of her parents' wedding, I'm giving it to Christella for that round.
You guys are racist. I'm kidding, guys. You're all lovely. You're all lovely.
Christella, the famous country song, I don't even know who recorded it originally, Refrigerator Boxes and Alleys Full of Glass. Ah. Refrigerator Boxes and Alleys Full of Glass.
Oh, my God. That was Lloyd Boyd who wrote that.
Lloyd Boyd.
And Refrigerator Boxes, that was actually after the last trip to IKEA that a couple went and made. Apparently, they had to assemble the refrigerator.
Ooh. One of those IKEA fridges.
Yeah, you know, sure. The ones that come in 100 pieces.
Yeah, Allen wrench on there.
Yeah, they bought a refrigerator and a coffee table with a glass top. They couldn't decipher the instructions with the drawn stick figures on them. They decided to wing it, and then they divorced.
Wow. Refrigerator Boxes and Alleys Full of Glass by Lloyd Boyd.
The part about the Allen wrench really moves me to tears all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a gauntlet thrown over to Ryan Bingham. Ryan, why don't you play us a little bit of Refrigerator Boxes and Alleys Full of Glass.
Honey, don't you leave me. This broken refrigerator, Mama putting back the pieces of the broken glass that you broke with the wrench from IKEA. All because I didn't read the directions. But I swear I'll make it up to you if you'll leave my cardboard boxes. Honey, please come back to me. What else do you need to say?
I'm waiting for you to wrap up the rhyme with box is what is happening.
What else is there left to say?
You set up this box rhyme and then it never pays off.
Well, I was just kind of worried about time.
Yeah. I think based on poignancy, I'm going to give that one to Ryan Bingham. Ryan Bingham is the winner of the game. Make it a country music song. Congratulations. And now the Wits Lightning Round. Short questions, short answer, big prizes. No prizes. Christella Alonzo, what old sitcom do you wish you could have guest starred on?
Roseanne.
Ryan Bingham, what's the hardest kind of song to write?
Songs about cardboard boxes and broken glass.
Christella, who do you most admire?
My mom.
Ryan, who do you most admire?
Oh, man. John Wayne.
Ryan, Wham or Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Who's Wham?
I guess that means Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Christella, what's a book that changed your life?
Bridge to Terabithia.
Christella, movie you've seen the most times?
The Muppets Take Manhattan. Cool kid.
Ryan, reading parenting books or just going for it and hoping for the best?
Just going for it and hoping for the best.
Christella, what's the best thing?
A German chocolate cake.
Ryan, Willie, Waylon, or Dolly Parton, who would make the best U.S. Secretary of State?
Willie Nelson.
Ryan, would you rather be trapped in a room full of bees or a room with one bear?
A room with one bear.
Christella, if you put honey in that room with Ryan, the bees, and the bear, what do you think would happen?
My next movie idea.
Ryan, have you ever solved a Rubik's Cube?
No.
Christella, what inspires you?
Everyone in my family.
Ryan, what is your favorite sound?
Laughing.
Christella, what is your least favorite word?
No.
Ryan, is music difficult?
Yes.
Christella, is comedy difficult?
Hell yeah.
Christella, best advice you've ever received?
Never give up. Dreams don't have expiration dates.
Ryan, best advice you've ever given?
Stay in school.
Ryan, biggest zoo animal you could beat in a fight if it came right down to it?
A giraffe.
What? You could take on a giraffe?
You betcha.
He had that answer ready to go. Christella, biggest zoo animal you could beat in a fight if it came right down to it?
Platypus.
And that's the Wits Lightning Round. Here with more music, Ryan Bingham.
And I know I feel this way, 'cause I keep it to myself. Well, I can't go on this way, honey, baby, I need your help. My radio makes me wanna just lose my head. Radio makes me wanna just lose my head. Well, in your car, driving on the freeway, you put your hand in mine. My radio is static like cocaine, I never close my eyes. And I've always heard that you can dream beyond your doubts. I hesitate, but I know my transceiver is living in the here and now. My radio makes me wanna just lose my head. My radio makes me wanna just lose my head. My radio makes me wanna just lose my head. Well, hey baby, won't you come and kiss me? I need your love tonight.
and wrap your arms all the way around me. Tell me I'm all right. Well, I know the hardest part of living is letting go. But bad dreams or sad memories keep a playing on my radio.
Want more Wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a Wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what our various Wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us. We're at Wits. Thank you to our friends Christella Alonzo and Ryan Bingham. Thanks also to our technical director, Corey Schreppel, our coordinating producer, Hans Buto, our intern, Autumn Burgraff, Julia Schrenkler, and the staff at the Fitzgerald Theater, Tom Campbell, Aaron Cassio, Dan Zimmerman, and Mike Wongan. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Jeff Drake, Kate McNally, and Mike Fotis, who also acted in this week's show, along with Christina Baldwin. We're joined by music director John Munson and The Witnesses, Joe Savage, Richard Medick, and Jamie Winterbauer. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Our senior producer is Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe. Bye now.